afternoon, that's already blown. So just so you know. Acts 3:19, we've been talking about times of refreshing from the Lord. It says in verse 19, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Last week, we were looking in Zechariah 10, remember, where it said, "Ask you rain of the Lord in the time of the latter rain," and what? That he's going to give what? Rain to every man, woman, in his field. We're talking about, what is your expectation? What are you asking God for? Where do you need rain? You know, and the first thing is to identify, what are your fields? What are the fields of my life? Is there an area, a field of your life where it looks parched or looks barren or it looks like it's not producing? God wants to pour out a time of refreshing upon your life, upon your family, upon your marriage, upon our church, upon our community. Amen? Amen? Because we saw this, when the rain falls down, it's going to cause something to grow. Amen? You can plant all the seed you want to, and that's important. But if the rain, if the moisture is not there, if the rain does not come down, then it is not going to produce any kind of a harvest. Amen? Amen. And so we talked about last week about crying out to God, asking God for the rain. And I believe that we are living in a time of refreshing where God wants to send refreshing. And I know this for a fact, that we desperately need refreshing in the body of Christ, and we need refreshing, a time of refreshing upon our nation. Amen. Can I hear a holy grunt? Yes. That's the truth, isn't it? If ever there was a time, men are looking around, the hearts of men are failing for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. And our best and brightest are absolutely stymied, and the wisdom needed and the answers needed to turn the situations around. We're living at a time that is not that it's never happened before, but you know what? It hadn't happened in our lifetime before, unless you are of an age that you can go back maybe to the Great Depression. But here's the thing. People do not have the answer. Come on. We're critical about this one, about that one. But the truth is, listen, the ones that are criticizing and the ones that are being criticized, we're all in the same boat. We don't have the answer. I'm talking about naturally speaking. We can't say, okay, push this button, pull that lever, do this thing, and I'm, you know, okay, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. No, I'm going to tell you what. We are coming to a time where unless we see an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a time of refreshing upon the church, the people of God, and then upon our nation, I want to tell you what, it's going to continue downward. Come on. A time of refreshing from the Lord. And so we're living in a time where we better get ourselves positioned. We better get ready. We better begin to cry out. So I want to talk about how to flow, how to move with the refreshing of God. Now, this presupposes that you're in agreement that God wants to send a refreshing. If you don't believe that God wants to send a refreshing or that he sends a refreshing, then, you know, just hum a few bars of your favorite song while I'm doing this, okay, or whatever. Listen. The first thing we have to do, the obvious, is believe that God does want to do something fresh. Now, we use the term new, okay? For example, we say, okay, I got a new car, okay? That means that the car is new, but that doesn't mean that there's never been a car until you bought that one. Are you following what I'm saying? So when I say God wants to do something new, there's that sense in which it is new for us. It is new in our generation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that God's never done it before. You understand what I say? Because sometimes we use words, especially in English, to have many meanings and connotations. So I want you to understand, when I say God wants to do something new, that means that it's new to us, like that car is new to you. Hallelujah. Amen. But it doesn't mean that that's the first time a car has ever been made. So when we talk about God doing something new in a time of refreshing, it means that it's new to us. We're experiencing something that's new, that's fresh, that's vital, that's life-giving right now to us. But it doesn't mean that God had never done it before. Okay, so with that in mind, Because I don't, you know, some people get to, oh, I'm looking for something new, thinking that by new we mean something different that God's never done before. No, that's how you get into error. Are you listening? That's how you get off. You start, oh, I'm going to get a revelation nobody's ever had before. Look out. Come on. You're going to get in trouble. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get in a mess. And the thing about it is, if that deception gets on you, nobody will be able to get you out of the mess. Because you're convinced that the mess is from God. Everybody else can see it clearly, but you're like, oh, I got some, well, you people, bless your, you know. Okay. So with that in mind, listen to this. Every new move of God is going to be opposed, usually by the people who were in the last move. Come on. Turn to Matthew 9 just a minute. Let's look at this, okay? Just for a few minutes here. We'll let you go here in just a few minutes. Matthew 9. I'm sharing this with you to help you. Presupposing that you want to flow with the refreshing that God is desiring to send. So here's the thing. Matthew 9, 16. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now here's the thing. As God is preparing His people for a refreshing, a new outpouring of His Spirit, a refreshing from the Lord, the first thing He will begin to do is prepare the wineskins. Are you listening? Why are we teaching on what we've been teaching on the last few weeks here about this time of refreshing, about repenting, about repairing, about redigging the wells, about all these things? What is God trying to do? He's trying to get the wineskin ready for the new wine. Because the old wineskin, Jesus said, cannot contain, will not receive the new wine. Come on. We've got our old ideas about how God's going to do it, how God ought to do it, and then when it doesn't happen that way, we reject it. Hello? The most well-taught, the most religious people, the ones who could quote the Scriptures verbatim in Jesus' day, utterly rejected Him. Come on. See, we think, well, you know, they were, and I mean, they rejected Him on scriptural grounds, as we would say. Isn't that right? They quoted Moses. They quoted the law of Moses. Everything Jesus did was wrong. Come on. He went through a cornfield on the Sabbath day and plucked some corn's ears. Oh, that's bad. He healed somebody that was sick on the Sabbath day. Oh, that's bad. He cast the devil out. Oh, you did that by the power of the devil. What? Their minds were shut up because what? They had an old wineskin. They had an old wineskin, and it would not permit them to receive the new wine that Jesus was bringing. And listen, if it could happen then, it can happen now. If it could happen to them, it could happen to us. The Bible says, we that stand, take heed, lest you also fall. Isn't that true? Amen. And so God is, first of all, God is preparing new wineskins. But here's the thing. We have to have ears to hear what God is saying. This is why God begins to create a hunger in us. Why God begins to bring about a thirst within us. Why? Because that makes us willing for God to do something fresh and new in us so that He can pour something fresh and new into us. As long as I'm happy where I'm at, there's no motivation for me to change. Come on. I'm content with what God, you know, I'm content with eating on that loaf of bread that God provided for me 15 years ago. Come on. I mean, it's got a little mold on it, and it smells a little funny, but yeah, I mean, you know. God gave it to me, I'm going to keep it. Come on. You remember with the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. Remember when they every day they had to go out and gather the manna. You know the story, isn't that right? And with the exception of the Sabbath day, if they didn't go, if they tried to keep that manna for 2-3 days, and they opened up those pots, storage pots with the manna, you know what was in it? Worms. Worms. What was God signifying? Listen, every day I have a fresh supply. Every day I want to do, you know, God, thank God you were saved. Never stop thanking God for your salvation. Thank God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. Thank God for all the good things He's done. But listen, He's not through yet. He's not finished yet. There is still something that He wants to do in our life and through our life for our generation. And so, you know, we've got to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm willing to be transformed into one of these new wineskins that is ready and is able to receive the new wine. Amen? You know, I've shared with you before in the natural about, you know, the Flat Earth Society. You know, they got a website. They do. They got a website. Go on and check it out. Google it. It'll crack you up. It's a Flat Earth Society. They got a website. Doesn't matter that Google's got pictures, you know. You can look at the earth turning around and around. They got, man, they're flat earth. Well, you know what? That's kind of an old revelation, isn't it? Yeah. That's kind of old news, isn't it? They might be just a little bit out of step with things that are going on. But you know what? Spiritually, you know, we do that and we don't think anything about it. Oh, we're holding on to the faith. Well, which faith are you holding on to? Because in God, the clearest teaching in scriptures is this, that the revelation and the knowledge of God and our relationship with God is progressive. Are you listening? Amen. We don't do away with what we learn, but what? God's always building on it, isn't He? He's wanting to do something fresh. The Bible says we go from faith to, and from glory to. And so, here's the thing. If God is wanting to do something, and I believe He is, to reach our generation by His power and by His message, then listen, there's going to have to be a refreshing that's going to come. Amen? Anybody believe something needs to happen in our nation? I mean, whatever you want to call it, refreshing, revival, renewing, restoration, I don't care. What, you know, but God needs to move, and then we need to see a fresh move of God upon our nation. Isn't that right? That's what we're talking about. But it starts with us. It starts with the people of God. If we're not open, if we're not willing, how in the world can we stand up and get mad and judge all the sinners because they're not? Right. Oh, you know, we're big at pointing out the log in their eye. You know, what we need to do is look at, the splinter that's in ours. We need to look at the stuff that's in ours, don't we? And so the only way we're going to be a part of this is if what? We first let God make us into new wineskins. So here's the thing. Opposition always comes. And many times that opposition is people who were involved in the last one. Why? Because they didn't let their wineskin be prepared. And as surely Jesus said, as you try to put new wine into old wineskin, that old wineskin is not going to be able to contain it. Come on. It will reject it. So what we need to do is what? We need to be able to recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking and when the Holy Spirit is moving. Amen. Recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking. Recognize when the Holy Spirit is moving. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We've got to become discerning. You know what that means? You're going to have to be a person of prayer. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my, has it come to that? Yeah. Has it come to that? Can't we just pay you, preacher, to do our praying for us? No. You got to do your own praying. Amen? I got to do my own praying. And we need to understand that. And the only way we're going to get in this move is we've got to be able to what? To recognize when the Holy Spirit's moving. Recognize when the Holy Spirit's speaking. Because if you don't recognize that, you're always going to be living in fear. I don't know if that's God or not. I don't want to get involved in all that. Well, why don't you know it's God? Then get in your prayer closet and pray till you know whether it's God or not. Do you know what God said? Do you know what God's speaking? Do you know the Spirit of God? Do you know when God is moving? Amen? Let me just give you some simple suggestions to how to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit real quick. First thing is look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Jesus said, you know, that a briar bush is not going to give forth figs. Isn't that right? No. You'll know them by their fruit. Are people being saved? Is Jesus being lifted up? Are people being blessed and helped and edified and built up? Are good things that line up with God's kingdom, God's character, God's word? Is that coming forth? If it is, then praise God. That's a real good indication that the Holy Spirit's at work. Isn't that true? Sure it is. You can read that in Matthew 7 where Jesus talked about that. Then, secondly, who's exalted? Who's exalted? If Jesus is exalted, if Jesus is being lifted up, then you can. That's a real strong indication that the Holy Spirit's involved in that. Because Jesus said, when the Spirit of God has come, He will not speak of Himself, but He will speak concerning me. Isn't that right? So, and then the third thing is, well, I already mentioned it in John 10:10. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are people being blessed? So look at the fruit. Who is exalted? And are people being blessed? And then we need to what? Learn how to what? Cooperate with the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to learn how to sense the climate, the spiritual climate, and get on board with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? See, I'm convinced part of that's what coming, what we call coming to church services should be about. Is that we come in here and we begin to enter in to the presence of God in a safe place, and we begin to recognize and discern the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is the presence. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what I sense. This is how we interact with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I recognize this. Then when you're out there on the workplace and the Holy Spirit begins to move on you and begins to speak to you, you're going to say, hey, this is the Holy Spirit. Then, you know what? You can cooperate with Him. Amen. See, this is all about your training. See, you think you're coming to get your needs met, but you're really coming for training. You're really coming to be spiritually educated. Educating your spirit. Amen? Educating your spirit. We begin to recognize. We begin to, and in worship, that's how we begin to draw into the presence of God. And through worship, we begin to interact with the Holy Spirit. And we begin to recognize, okay, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Then we begin to recognize, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. There you are. This is you. And what? We build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then when the Spirit of God begins to move, we all recognize and discern, this is the Holy Spirit. We all flow in faith with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you can put the brakes on God? I mean, you know that. You can put the brakes on God. Absolutely. You can do it in your individual life when God's wanting to move. We can do it corporately. We can do it corporately. We can come in here and the Spirit of God can begin to move. And we got a bunch of old wineskins in here. Come on. That are not sensitive and discerning that this is the Holy Spirit, that, oh, well, we didn't do it that way back in 19-0 and whatever. And the next thing you know, we're putting the brakes on. You know, yeah, it only takes a few people. You can put the brakes on. God's wanting to do something. We're all believing. We're all praying. But you over there, man, that'd be like me, you know, maybe me and Rick are driving down the road one day in a car together, and we see you broke down on the side of the road, and we pull over to help you. We said, what's going on here? Well, you know, I can't get my car cranked. So we said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We don't have any jumper cables, but we'll give you a push. Get that thing started, and then, you know, drive it to, we'll follow you to a garage. So me and Rick behind the car, man, we're trying to push this thing, and you're in there. Man, we're back there grunting and groaning and sweating and, you know, and everything else and kicking the tires and all that. Can't figure out why we can't get this thing going. And we holler up there to you and say, what's going on? I don't know. What gear you got it in? Park. Well, we were doing our best. Weren't we, Rick? Yeah. Man, we were back. But you got the thing in part. Or you got the breakup. You know, we got to learn. When you come to church, don't have your spiritual engine in park. Don't put your faith in park. Put it in drive. And if you can, get it in overdrive. Isn't that right? But get in here with us. Begin to believe with us. Oh, man, and the Holy Spirit starts to move, and we just jump on. Where are you going here? Amen. He's going over here. Touch that one. He's going back here. He's going to touch this one. He's going back here. He's going to encourage that one. Then we're going over here. He's going to heal that one. Instead of the brakes on. And everybody said, I don't understand why the Holy Ghost don't move in our church. Come on. You're not, in the railroad, they used to have a guy called the brake man. You know, well, listen, take the brake off. Take the brake off. Isn't that right? So what? We've got to exercise our faith, don't we? Amen. Exercise our faith. Here's the thing. If you oppose long enough, here's a good indication that you're in opposition. You're going to be critical and judgmental. Well, thank God. There's a bunch of crazy stuff. All those people up on the floor and all this stuff. They're saying God speaking and all this. That ain't God. Come on. Got that old redneck preacher. That ain't God. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Isn't that what they said about Jesus? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Got some old guy from Brooklyn or New Jersey. Whatever. Man, you know, listen. You see, as soon if you're in opposition, you're going to be critical. You're going to begin to oppose it. I mean, you don't have any alternatives that you're offering. You're just telling us you're wrong. Come on. You know, I've told you before, you know, you don't have to have any special qualifications to be critical. All you got to do is have a wrong spirit and a mouth. And it'll come out. Isn't that true? Come on. If you whatever you oppose, you will end up being cynical and critical of. One more thing. How many give me one more? Let me do one more thing here. Y'all heard them. Don't blame me. Listen. We're talking about flowing with this refreshing God wants to put out. The second thing is begin to pray for and be in agreement with the move that you're discerning. Pray over it. Remember God starts things in seed form and then it grows from there. When we begin to sense, we begin to see there's a spiritual climate change. We begin to see something's happening. It's not full yet. It's not full orbed yet. It's not fully formed yet. But I begin to discern, like, wait a minute, there's a weather change going on here. I sense something's good that's different in the spirit. I see something. That's the time when we hook up in prayer and in faith with the Holy Spirit so that what we can make sure that thing is, it's not aborted. It comes forth full orbed. It comes forth, because when it comes forth, it's going to bless more people. It's going to glorify God in a greater way. It's going to bring forth a greater harvest coming in. This is what we're about. Man, I can enjoy God at home. Come on. If you're not, that's your fault. Amen. You ought to be enjoying God at home. You ought to be having a high old time with God. You ought to be getting to know the Holy Ghost in your prayer closet. So when you come in here, you know, man, you can just hook up with us. But begin to pray. If you sense, pray. Pray. We talked about these two people. I'm not going to mention it again, but in Luke 2, you remember Simeon and Anna. We talked about that. They had been praying, what? For the Messiah. And believe, and then when Jesus comes in, among all these other hundreds of babies being dedicated, I mean, they had their Holy Ghost radar. There he is. There he is. There's the Messiah. Man, people of prayer are the first ones to discern. Oh, they pick up on it early. They encourage it. They nurture it. They make sure it comes forth. We want it to come forth. You know, I'm not over there trying to, you know, as soon as I see you on fire, let me get this bucket of water. No, I'm going to fan that thing. Yeah, Lord. Ooh, I see those embers. I'm going to blow on it in prayer. I'm going to blow on it. Me and the Holy Ghost are going to start blowing on that thing. We're going to fan. What did Paul write to Timothy? He said, fan into flame. He didn't say pour a bucket of cold water on it. I'm always trying to be dignified. Just don't worry. Just... Listen, when you hear a prophetic word come forth, the Bible is clear about this. Do not despise prophecy. That doesn't just mean get up and say, that's not God. That means we don't do anything with it. It doesn't move us. It doesn't change our attitude. It doesn't do anything to our faith. We don't do anything to respond to it. We just say, well, that's nice. Catalog it with all the others. Well, that was nice. That was nice. That was nice. You think God's just speaking to hear himself speak? No. Remember what we said, the principle? Before God moves, what does he do? He speaks a word. One of the words is right up there. Increase. Amen. We try to keep, I put it up there and then I move it back here and we move it all around. You know, the reason we do that is, but why? Because I know human nature. Yeah, we know all that. We've heard that before. I heard that back in 19 Alton. Come on. You know, that's our problem here in America. We're too rich sometimes, I think, even in the Word. Oh, I've heard brother this, sister that, brother that, brother this, brother that. You know, they can teach and preach 10 times better than you. And I've been to all their seminars, listened to all their tapes, CDs, Bibles. I've got a degree. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? When we hear a prophetic word, when we hear God saying a word and it resonates, we know that's God. That's God. We should begin to pray over that thing. We should begin to grab hold of that thing in faith. We should begin to expect that thing to come to pass. You know, a seed you can hold in your hand can become a redwood 300 feet high. You could build hundreds of homes from that one tree. Just with the seed. What about the prophetic word that God's... That's a seed. God's saying, what are you doing with my seed? What are you doing, Grace, with my seed I'm giving? All right, what are you doing? Are you doing anything with it? Well, Lord, we put it in a handkerchief. And we put it over there and we got it filed. Remember the last guy that did that? The guy with the one talent? Lord, I was afraid. I was worried. I wasn't sure. I knew how you are. I knew if I messed up, buddy, you were going to get me. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said, wasn't it? Listen, no, let's do something with it. When you begin to see the moving of the Holy Spirit in a way, jump on board and pray in faith. Fan it. Amen? Fan it. Prepare. When we prepare for the move, listen. Not only the prophetic word, now I'm going to say something here. I hope you will take it as I meant it to be. But here's the thing. Listen to your pastor's messages. I don't get my messages out of a Rolodex. Are you listening? I don't. I don't go, listen, man, this one looks good. Let's go on to sermon.com and get one. Or whatever it is. I don't even know if that's one place or not. Probably is. And I say, and please understand this. I say this, I do, with all humility. I'm not to lift me up or anything. But here's the thing. If I was in a church and I didn't think my pastor was hearing from God and preaching a message from God, I'd clear. And I'd encourage you to do that. I'm not out here to build some kind of empire. I'm just trying to be obedient, like you. You know? So how's your track record? Like yours. I just leave that up to you, however that's the answer for you. But here's the thing. Don't you think that God, if he's got a purpose and a plan and a vision for a church, that he's going to bring in and set in a man that's supposed to lead it spiritually and everything, and then he's not going to tell him anything? He's not going to show him anything? No. Boy, that's smart, isn't it? No. I want to tell you something, you know. So one of the ways is a prophetic word. And then what is the message that's coming forth? What is being preached? What is being taught? And not only in your local church, but listen to the body of Christ. And larger, those that you have confidence in, that you know that they're men and women of God. Listen to what they're saying. And you begin to listen to this. And you begin, listen, God's speaking. We're just not hearing. We're just too busy. We're just too dull of hearing spiritually that we're not picking up on what God's saying. Listen, don't be like the mule that the old farmer, you know. He's plowing with this old mule, you know, and ever so often that mule just sat down. Any of you have ever been around a mule, you know what I'm talking about. Man, you've been out there, old mule, and when a mule sets down, honey, that's it. I could meddle there, but I'm just going to leave that alone. It's just going to get me in trouble. But he'd just sit down. And he'd yank on the reins and talk sweet to it and everything else. So, you know, finally, you know, he come up with this idea. He had a big old 2x4. And he pulled that thing out, you know, and the guy was watching him. And he just hit that mule right upside the head. Pow! And that guy was like, man, what are you doing? He said, I had to get his attention first. You know, what did the Bible say? Don't be like the horse, where God has to put bit and bridle in you. I mean, does God got to get out of 2x4 to get our attention? Or can we not just listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to, have ears to hear, have hearts that are tender and discerning, and get on board with what God is wanting to do? I don't care who God uses. He can raise you up. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Man, he can raise you up and put you here next week if he wants to. That's fine by me. I don't have a problem with it. I'd be glad to let you have it. Hey, man. I'd be like, yeah, go. Because that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter who's standing behind the pulpit. It's just, as long as it's who God wants, who do I care? Young, old, medium, big, skinny, or fat? What difference does that make? Can't we move beyond that and see what the Spirit of God is doing, sense what the Spirit of God is saying, and hook up with that? Okay, then finally, and I got to stop here because time is run over. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally. What is he saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you know? Is it because he's not telling you anything? You're the only one God's mad at. He's not speaking to you. I'm speaking to everybody else of my children, but I ain't speaking to you. I'm mad at you. Come on. No, what? We're too busy. I am convinced that the busyness of our generation is of the devil. That's my opinion. It's my opinion. That we're so busy with all this stuff that we don't have time for God. I'm talking about, because here's the thing. God, listen, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to hear God on the run. And if you do hear God on the run, it's because you've been taking time before to wait on God and listen to God. But I'm talking about on an ongoing daily basis, if you're always trying to hear from God on the run, or usually what we want to do is we want to get, you know, we want to get secondhand information. You know, we want to hear God speaking to somebody that is listening and let them tell us. Well, you remember how that worked out with the Israelites, don't you? Remember that? God said, I want all the Israelites, I want you all to come up to the mountain and God's going to speak. But when God came down with the fire and all that, the people got afraid and they said, Moses, you go. Boy, he got volunteered real quick, didn't he? He said, you go, you hear, you listen to what God says, then you come tell us. That sounds like church today, don't it? And then when he tried to do it, they didn't want to hear it, did they? Oh, Moses, you made all that up. Moses, who you think you are. Moses, you're taking on airs. Moses, you're this, you're that. Well, why didn't you go to the Dad Burn Mountain? Excuse me for cussing. Go to the mountain yourself then. You won't have to worry about whether it's being filtered through somebody else. Go listen for yourself or stop complaining. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. As we recognize times of refreshing from the Lord, church, and we begin to discern, we begin to react, we begin to allow God to make us to be. All of this I've talked about, you know what that is? That's us becoming what? New wineskins. I've become a new, if you will do what these few things I've suggested, you know what you'll become? A new wineskin. Because you're hearing what God says. You're open to what God says. You're receptive to what God says. You're in the move. You're in the flow with what God's doing. You know, you're not acting as the Holy Ghost brake man. Let the Holy Ghost be the brake man. Amen. He knows how to put the brake on something. Amen. Let him put the brake. Don't let it be you. Don't let you, well, I think God's called me, you know, I'm called to be, you know, I'm the fruit inspector. No, you missed that. You're the fruity inspector. You left off a letter. No, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Isn't that right? And he is well able to do it. He is well able to do it. Amen. I want, if you would, to bow your heads just for a moment. I want to pray. I want to pray. Now, I know we've gone over to...